looking at this book. But they just said the same stories about his people.
So we're talking about how did Rabbi Yitzchak become close to Breslau. So he was learning the yeshiva in Makkah when he was 18 years old. And we said that this boy named Rabbi Yitzchak Otvetzker, who was a very, very handsome boy, even though his father was very ugly, like we said, the whole story over there. And so this Rabbi Yitzchak was close to Breslau. What's your last name?
Gidon.
Huh?
Gidon.
Gidon, right. You know about Rav Ashlag from Bnei Brak?
Yeah.
Someone wants to get a ksuba from them.
Huh?
A chatan. So I'm going to give it, I don't know if you have a number. I'll talk to you. You'll be here till 2:30? 10 minutes? You going now?
No.
Stay. Good. So this Rabitzako was already close to, he was 16 years old, he was already very close to Breslev, and knew a lot about Breslev, about Rabbeinu. He was 16. He knew a lot about Breslev, and about Rabbeinu, about his students. He spent 1 month, Rabitzako spent 1 month in Uman at the end of that winter of 1914. Okay? 1913, I'm sorry. 1913. Okay. Right before the war. What month did the war break out? In Av. September, right? August, September?
I think it was July?
I remember it was in the summer.
July of 1914.
So anyway, so this was almost a year before. Over a year before. And 1 month he spent in Uman, but he was so big, he was able to grasp so much of Breslev, which he cleaved to the rest of his life. And all of that, spiritual force he brought into the yeshiva Makkah. So obviously everything that he spoke about besides Gemara was Breslev. Yeah, Avoda, Avodas Hashem. More than 100 Bachurim, which was the majority of the yeshiva, became Breslev al Hasidim. A lot of the biggest tzaddikim in Uman became Breslev because of this boy. And they were sending letters back and forth in Uman in this town before the First World War. There was the connection. And they sent them books of Breslev and everything. And Rabbi Levi Yitzchak also. The yeshiva Makkah, they were attached to the Hasidus called Radzmin. Right? And they used to always speak with Rabbi Aaron Menachem Mendel of Radzin about the yeshiva. Also, they used to speak about the Imrahemis of Gur, the second Rabbi of Gur, third Rabbi of Gur. Okay? So they didn't know what to do. So they asked the girl, what do we do with this boy? He comes to the yeshiva and he changed the whole yeshiva. I don't know, we don't know what to do with this. What should we do? So the Radzin Rabbi said, don't bother him, let him do his work. There was one of the mashgichim that bothered him, and he decided, I'm going to stop this guy from making everyone wrestle. So he went to talk with him, and he sees him in the corner of the slashim, staying to heal him, crying. He's a 16-year-old with his heart. He said, I can't tell what this guy is to someone else. So they asked him, Rabbi Yitzchak, a few times, many times, they asked him, what made you get close to Breslev? He said, nothing special in Breslev, but this boy who represented Breslev, that's what caught me, that's why I became close to Breslev, just because of this boy. So a lot of times, also talking to ourselves, it's how we, not always what we say, sometimes how do we act. Yeah? So we're being people close. Someone always has a smile on his face. I don't know, what's wrong with it? Why is he smiling? My father told me that he had a friend in yeshiva that used to learn with the Magid Shir, Chavusa. And on Chanukah, the boy, my father's friend, was smiling. So the Magid Shir was a very litvish place, yeah? What are you smiling about? It's Chanukah today. So what? You stay hot, light the candles, and that's all. Why smile? Hashem Yerachem. Like Avraham says, you're a Jew, you're not smiling, take up the kippah. Chilul Hashem.
What's the difference between Harelim and Hasidim? Harelim is like the soup is cold, Harelim is soup is warm.
Oh, God. Summer 1914. First World War. Taf Reish Ayin Dalet in the Hebrew date is Tirad. Shaking. And the land started shaking. The whole Europe was shaking. It's going up in flames. No, it was...
Now, what's really interesting is...
No, it wasn't in July. It was maybe the end of July. August. It was August.
What was really interesting is that people didn't really know that the war was going to start until it was like that.
It was sudden.
Very
sudden.
So
the boys, they were scattered all over the place. Yeah. They all scattered. The yeshiva completely was there. And Rav Levi Yitzchok and his friend Rav Yitzchok and other Bachurim decided they're going to where?
Uman.
Of course, to where they had to go home. They're going to Rabbi Nachman in Uman. And over there they'll find also custody or whatever it's called, a safe place to be during the war. So towards the end of Rosh Hashanah, Tafresh Ayin Hei, okay, in 1914, the end of Rosh Hashanah that year, they started to go towards Uman.
But also they didn't realize that the war would last that long. They thought it would be over in months.
Yeah. I mean, Yitzchak used to say, he had the crazy stories about him going to Uman. And now, starting at 5 minutes, we'll start the story. How did he get to Uman? One of the greatest disasters of the war was that the yeshiva world was completely destroyed. All the yeshivas collapsed, everything. Four years the war was going on. Everyone, every town, every city was hurt by this, by the war. There were millions of dead people all around the world. And the yeshiva world was completely destroyed.
Well, most of the yeshivas were in Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
Poland.
That's where the war was, no?
I mean, before the war.
Yeah.
There was nothing in America, was there?
America?
Nothing.
Garnished. Nothing.
Nothing in Europe. Nothing in England. Nothing
in Canada. England had issues. The First World War? Maybe not. Maybe after the First World War there was an England. I don't know.
Yeah, with Gateshead.
Anyway, he didn't go home. He decided, with the influence of his good new friend of Yitzchak, to go north, to go towards Russia for Rosh Hashanah, Tafshin Ayin Hei. Like Rabbeinu said, yeah. And but Rav Yitzchak, this Yitzchak didn't know what to do because his father told him not to go to Uman. Yitzchak's father doesn't have to go to Uman. But Rav Levi Yitzchak told his friend, "I think we should go to Uman. Come with me to Uman." This journey of Rav Levi Yitzchak to Uman, this did the whole revolution in his life. That was between the past, before Breslev, and the future, after Breslev. That was what made him into Breslev, was connected into the Rebbe, to the last breath on the earth. You already taste, only a little bit, what Breslev is. But he still wasn't a Breslev. So he decided, I'm going to Uman. But at least years later, he talks about the story that how he got to Uman. He says the Satan was standing in every corner to stop me from getting to Uman. He said there was clear miracles, revealed miracles that happened to me to get to Uman. Okay. Why? Because after the war, there was no one left. No one left from Uman. All the rest of us were murdered. Not by the Nazis. Nazis didn't have an opportunity to kill them. By the Ukrainians. And whoever was left afterwards,
well, we're talking about World War One.
Yeah.
That was before.
No, World War Two. After the World War Two, there was nothing left.
Right. I mean,
that's the miracle that happened. That the Levites got there before. By World War One, he got there, so he was able to absorb for 30 years what Breslev is between the two world wars. And then he was one of the maybe one or two that were left of Breslev from Uman after the war. And he came to Israel and he made Breslev here. He gave over everything he got in Uman.
Well, didn't the Soviets conquer all that area?
Yeah, he was there during the Soviets.
World War II.
He was there during the Soviets. He fled to the east during the Second World War. We'll talk about the Second World War later. So we'll stop over here.
Rabbi Rosenthal in New York, that's fine.